All right, we promised you Blaine Rader on the airwaves this afternoon, and by goodness, we have Blaine Rader. Blaine, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great today. How are you doing today, Mike?
Excellent, my friend. Thanks for making some time for us, because time isn't exactly something you have oodles of anymore, as you have decided to, and again, I told everybody before you called that I'm going to let you explain this, but you are Everesting on your bike, and you're doing it to raise money for a local charity here in town, Habitat for Humanity. How did you, what in the heck's going on? Are you a bike rider just for giggles? Because I just got a new bike 2 weeks ago, and I haven't rode 10 miles yet, and you're going to climb Mount Everest? How does all this work?
Well, I've been cycling fairly seriously for about 15 years, maybe a bit more. Done a lot of different competitions, raced in the regional area. Actually, have done fairly well at that at different times. But it's an interesting time that we're in. You know, I think a lot of people who are into competitive sports, obviously, you know, along with a lot of other things in the world, that's changed. And so, you know, there's a number of events and things that have been scheduled throughout the year, and those keep getting canceled. And so for me, I had a big event I was working for, actually almost to the same day I have the Everesting planned, and a race called the Leadville 100, which is a 100-mile mountain bike race.
Is that in Colorado?
Yeah, Leadville, Colorado, yeah. At 10,000 feet of elevation with about 10,000 feet of climbing in it, so nothing simple. And so as I was looking to get canceled and I'd been training for that, I was trying to think of something else to do. You know, got to have some goal to work towards, right?
Absolutely, especially when you've been training to ride such a long race and at altitude and everything else that goes with it. That's not always easy to find. You can't just hop over in the Tour de France. I know that's been canceled as well, and do any of that. So you decide, well, if I can't ride this race, I'm going to climb Mount Everest, because that's what most normal people do.
Exactly. I figured it was a fairly normal response, right? You know, probably goes through everybody's mind every day, right? No, I was actually talking with a number of friends. I've got a couple of friends who have been board members for Habitat. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking around that. You hear a lot about the effects of sick people not surviving COVID-19, all the healthcare workers, you know, the enormous economic impacts of everything going on. But I don't think a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about our local nonprofits and the struggles they're going through. And it just really hit me that, wow, you know, this is a big issue. And so, you know, the concept of, you know, doing something kind of crazy on my bike grew quite a lot. Well, maybe we can do this and really benefit the local organization through the process. And maybe this Everesting thing is just crazy enough to garner enough local excitement that we can do some good with it.
Now, how are you going to help Habitat for Humanity on your bike? Are you looking for pledges per foot, per mile? I've never heard of anybody Everesting, so I'm not sure how this works. What was your theory behind that, and how's it been going?
It's been going really well. The response from the community is amazing. You know, we set a very lofty fundraising goal. The height of Mount Everest is 29,029 feet tall. So we set a goal to raise $29,029.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, your goal and your race and everything else, we've talked about why we've figured out, all right, we've got all this training done, now I've got nothing to do with it. When are you actually going to Everest? How does this work? Do you do this in one day? Do you have a Sherpa on the back with an oxygen tank? How does this work?
Well, there's actually some rules to Everesting. There's a group actually out of Australia that manages all the rules and qualifications. So there is no single road in the world that climbs 29,029 feet. So the only way to do it is to find a hill, regardless of how tall, or mountain, and ride laps up and down it until you've accumulated 29,029 feet of elevation change. So what we've done is, you know, we've picked a date. Our date is August 15th, so a week from tomorrow. And we've also, another buddy of mine and I are doing this together.
Yeah, I noticed you weren't doing this alone.
Right. So anything that's crazy, you can't do alone. It's not enough. It's not enough fun. You got to experience it with somebody else.
Now, is this somebody that you ride and train with regularly, or is this someone who has made a large, large leap of faith?
No, we ride together quite a lot. We're both members of local cycling clubs, both Bloomington Velo and the Bloomington Bicycle Club. He and I have been out scouting different hills in the area, trying to find the perfect hill. The hill we've chosen is actually just off of Lake Griffey. It's that climb coming south off of the causeway. So we'll be out there from before dawn on the 15th till almost dusk. So it'll be
my car,
17.
My car has a problem getting up that hill.
Well, see, that's the trick. Is
just use your bike,
right? If you want to minimize time, you need to pick a steeper hill.
Oh, well, that makes sense because coming down is
right.
You get a little bit of a break there. Blaine Rader's our guest. He is Everesting for Habitat for Humanity. He's going to do it next Saturday. I've just shared a link of a video from your Facebook page at our page at WGCL Radio that gives you an idea of how this works out. So when you're not physically on your bike riding the hill at Bolting House Road, you're on your bike at home that feels like you're riding up hills anyhow.
Yes. Yes, that was my last big training ride was to do to simulate a full Everesting on they do now virtual trainers that I can tell you are a really good replication of the real thing. It's kind of amazing what
because you're dealing
done.
With the grade and the slope and everything, right? It's just you're not riding flat. So I don't want people to think that you're just riding this out on a flat. No, you're going. These are sanctioned things you're doing here, and your special bike. Because I could see in your video, I can see you going quote unquote uphill, but you're not going anywhere. How it just feels like you're out there. Yes.
Yeah. That was an incredible effort. It was 13 hours in my basement, cranking away on a trainer, simulating going up and down hills. My favorite thing, and I think probably the most shocking, even to me. When I got through the day, I went back and put together everything I had consumed that day.
Calorie-wise
and liquid-wise. I drank 20 pounds of liquid.
Wow. Well, if you're going that far. Now, here's a stupid question for you. 29,000 feet, 5,200. So it's only about 5 miles. It doesn't sound like that much, but it's the uphillness of it all. That's where it comes. So you've done a practice one of these? So this is no big deal for you. This is just I'll take 13 hours on a weekend and just ride up Mount Everest.
Yeah, I have a very understanding family, but yeah. So from a training standpoint, I've done 3 halves, and then I've done a whole one, but that was on the one in the trainer in the basement, which has some simplified things over doing it outside. You don't have to worry about all the descents as much, and you're controlling the environment and. So you've got a number of things you can control that way, but I don't know what else I could do to prepare more for next weekend. But it's been been a lot of fun to get there.
Go to give.classy.org/Blaine_Rader, and that's Rader_Everesting. For Habitat. I've put that in the link at our Facebook page, WGCL Radio. So you just have to click on it. It's a great way to donate. Obviously, Habitat for Humanity is the beneficiary of this. So you talked about how much you just on this. Let me ask a dumb question because I excel in these. In your, and I'm guessing this is your basement, and I don't mean that as a negative connotation. You're not a blogger. You're a bicycle rider. Where else are you going to put your bike? What do you have the temperature set on? Do you prefer a climate either way? Do you have a fan blowing on you? How does this all work?
Yeah. So in the basement there, it's, basement temperature is probably 65, 70 degrees. But the important part that you hit on is there is definitely fans there. if you look closely in the video, you can see my hair blowing around.
Uh-huh.
That is key.
That is man-made. That is man-made hair blowing around. That is not the that is not the outdoors doing it. My rear end hurts when I ride 2 miles down to the Switchyard Park. What do you do for padding? I need some inside information here.
that's a cyclist secret there. We have special padded shorts that keep us comfortable.
Yeah, people laugh at me because I got the big pillow on my seat, the one from my bed, and I try to tape it on there with some duct tape, and they know I'm new to the game. So you have trained for this. Now, your race that you were going to do that led to the fundraiser for Habitat for Humanity, when was that canceled? And then when did you decide Everesting was going to be the choice? How much training have you put in to get to next Saturday's Everesting?
That's a good question. The writing was probably on the wall in May, April timeframe. I don't think it was really officially canceled until probably early June, but I had been training that whole time. And so that May, June timeframe is when I started putting all the exploration into this project. Overall, I think I've ridden nearly 7,000 miles this year. All told, I think, to this point. So,
That's it, huh? Just 7,000 miles. All right, great. What kind of equipment do you run on? Is it a hybrid? Do you road bike? I'm not an expert in this. Help me out.
No, that's what made the Leadville thing a little bit silly for me was that it's a mountain bike race, and I'm more of a road bike rider, so I do almost all of my training on a road bike. So.
Do you have a pit crew who is going to be out there with you next Saturday?
I do. I have a surprisingly excited family to come out and support.
Well, you know why they're excited? Because you'll be done with this and they'll get to see you again. That's why.
It very well could be. I've had my son come out and help with the two halves I've done outside. He keeps trying to explain to them the level of excitement that they're going to see over this time of just somebody riding up and down a hill. But they haven't picked up on that. But I'll have quite a lot of friends out there. A lot of my friends that I ride bikes with will come out and ride a few laps and, you know, just provide support and encouragement because, you know, once I get to the point of 14, 15 hours on the bike, encouragement's going to be really helpful. There's going to come a time,
you're not
I'm sure,
kidding.
When I just want to, you know, pull over and be done. But we're going to push through and we're going to make sure it gets done.
That's coming up next Saturday. Blaine Rader's our guest. He is riding. He is riding. He is riding up and down Bolting House Hill, the equivalent of riding up into Mount Everest. Yes, that Mount Everest. Yes, that one over there. That's one of the tallest peaks, if not the tallest peak in the world. And he's doing it for a great cause. Everesting for Habitat. Habitat for Humanity here in Monroe County is a local beneficiary. What's your number, your goal you're trying to raise, Blaine?
$29,029. That's the goal we're working towards.
And that is the height of Mount Everest above sea level. So there is a reason for those numbers. Okay, so here we are. We've done a practice run or two. We've done the practicing in the basement on the stationary bike. The bike that doesn't go anywhere. I know it's not a stationary bike. Right. Music choices, eating. This all fascinates me. What are you listening to? How do you, as you mentioned, the monotony of going up and down the same hill for 14 straight hours, where do you go in your brain to get through this?
Yeah, those are great questions. So, I'll start with music choice. The video that you'll post there, there's actually another version of it with some of my music on it, but due to some copyright constraints, I had to scrub that off before I posted it. And
yeah,
you
do-gooders, quit raising money using our music. Golly.
Exactly. And so I had to scrub that, but I can assure you that I enjoy the one that has the music on it. My music choices are probably a little bit odd. I'm more of a heavy metal fan, so it's got some good Metallica background music.
But
to
you
it.
Can't go Metallica for 14 straight hours, can you? A Metallica concert's about 3 hours. What are you doing the other 11?
Well, yeah, just they
more metal.
They're an older band. So they have enough music out there. You could fill 15 hours.
So you are a one man band. For your trek, was that by design or is that just something that just will seem comfortable?
No, it's what I enjoy. And I can, in the pictures in my basement there, I think I went through the first five albums until I just kind of, you know, to get to your second question is where do you go in your brain when you're doing that? So it's a great question because it's, it's really the important thing from being able to maintain the pace. And so really the focus is just picking a pace that you know you're fairly certain you can maintain for that time, and just making sure that, one, you don't overshoot it, because if you do, you're going to suffer a lot later. Or on the other hand, if you undershoot, you know, you're just going to spend another hour, 2 hours, 3 hours on the bike, which at the end of the day is not going to be very much fun either. So it's just staying focused on what your goals are and making sure that you're progressing as planned. And, you know, you also asked about the nutrition piece, and that's the piece that probably had me the most worried is, you know, how do you make sure that you can continue to take on food and, you know, have all the energy to finish this thing out? And so that's actually a really important part of the pacing, is to make sure that you're running at a pace not only where you can maintain the, you know, the physical effort, but also you can also keep taking on nutrition so you can keep that effort going on for, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, on to 15, 16, 17 hours.
Are these protein shakes, peanut butter sandwiches? What are you going to eat during this 13, 14-hour journey?
It's good. There, if you scroll back a post or two, I posted a picture of the sandwiches I made before the...
you need a building permit to make that sandwich in Bloomington. It's got 19 pieces of bread, 2 pounds of ham, a head of lettuce, and 16 pounds of cheese on it. Now, that's my kind of sandwich. You're eating that before. You're not hauling that on the bike with you, are you?
No, I'll have somebody hand me...
piece by piece?
Yes, or I'll stop here and there and have a quick bite to eat, stretch, and get back on the bike and go. So it'll be a continual every hour, every 2 hours, having something to eat, and just continue to make sure you bring on some level of nutrition so you can...
All for charity. All for charity. Yeah. All to raise money for charity. This is a fantastic story, and we hope you reach your goal. We know you're very close to it. That's why we wanted to have you on today, because we have a week before this gets going, so people can go to give.classy.org/Blaine_Raeder, it's R-O-E-D-E-R _ Everesting for Habitat, where you can donate. All that money is going to stay right here for the Habitat for Humanity of Monroe County. And we talked about what you're going to eat on the bike. Now, we're a week away. How does your diet and training change, peak, shift before the 29,200 feet coming next Saturday?
That's a good question too. So
I'm exhausted, I mean, just listening to these answers.
Yeah. And now I'm in what we'd call a taper. So, you know, we've kind of done all the heavy training load. And so this is really the fun time of, you know, I'll still go out on my bike and ride and even do some longer rides, but, you know, the intensity will definitely be lower. Won't be pushing as hard. So actually just go out and enjoy and put some time in on the bike. And, from what I'll eat standpoint, is I'll just keep, you know, just make sure my energy levels are up. And when I do get on the bike next Saturday morning, bright and early, that, you know, I'm rested, well fed, and ready for a fun day on a bicycle.
Let me compare this to a runner briefly before we let you get back to work here. If your boss yells at you, just blame me. That's fine. Would this be comparable to running a marathon, or would this be more like a triathlon where you do the swim, the bike, and the run? What is the exertion level, or you know what I'm trying to get at here?
Yeah, I would say if you compare it to a marathon, I would say we're probably, relative to a marathon, this is probably closer to what you would call a century run.
So oh, 100 miles. Gee whiz. Okay. Yeah. So four marathons.
Right. If you figure somebody's going to be able to do a marathon in 4 hours, this is going to be somewhere in the 16 to 18 range. So about four of those.
That's it. Just four of them. Yeah. If you got nothing else to do on a Saturday, you can come out and join Blaine. Now, have you called the local authorities? How does this work? Have you rented Bolting House Hill for the afternoon? How does this work?
I think the hill we're going to use is actually Griffey.
Oh, so the Griffey one. Okay. Trained at Bolting House. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're talking about the one in Griffey that is, the one that goes straight up in the air.
Yes. Oh. Just coming south off the causeway is where we'll be. We've had a few conversations there. You know, we're just a couple of cyclists, you know, riding no different. There may be a few people around. So, you know, the goal is to keep it fairly low key. But if somebody stops by, says hello, we'll be happy to see them.
Wow.
But and that was part of it, too. As we put this together, you know, we wanted to do something that regardless of what happened in the world with the pandemic, whatever, you know, that, you know, was not a not an event, if you will, where we had to manage hundreds of people. So,
all right, I've got two more dumb questions for you, then I'll let you go, I promise. I'm fascinated by this. Number one, I think it's great you're raising money for a local charity, so that's why we wanted to get your message out. Number two, these are things that just you don't run into every day. So do you have a drone flying over this? Is someone going to record this? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, so I've actually, that's been a piece I didn't really plan for, but I've, you'd imagine through this journey, I've happened across a number of different groups, and I've actually come up, there's a group that's going to help do some filming with it. I think we'll have some GoPro cameras, some cameras on the bikes, a number of different things so we can document.
Luckily,
it.
Those are very, they don't weigh anything. That's a great point.
Yeah, that's the point. I'm not carrying anything extra.
I bet not. And then the coup de grace, I can see my listeners through the radio saying, "You gotta, what are you gonna do Saturday night and into Sunday, if anything?"
So that's a really good question.
Hot tub.
The actual answer is probably very little.
Go sit in that cool basement and relax.
Yeah, it's a funny question because when we put the video together that you posted there of the ride, the 13-hour ride in my basement and training, you know, there's a picture of me at the end where I'm just kind of sitting on the floor, leaning over, and my wife looks and says, "Well, you look, just kind of look defeated. It'd be nicer if you had something looking more victorious." And I said, "Well, to be honest, that's really how I felt." Just happy it's done, you know, and I think, you know, Saturday night, I think from my perspective, the accomplishment, and it's going to be less about, you know, having done the ride, having climbed the height of Mount Everest, but I think the true satisfaction for me is going to come into, you know, really the impact we've had with Habitat, the impact we're going to have on the community there. And so that's the piece that I think is going to bring about the most satisfaction in all of this. So, and it has along the way, and I think that's been probably the most fun piece for me. So, you know, I think I can't say enough about that group as well. They've been supportive of somebody showing up with a crazy idea, and you know, it's been fun working with that group, and just really overall humbled to be able to work with them and help the community in this way.
Well, that's why I thought it was a fantastic story, and I wanted to get you on the airwaves to tell it, because people can make a difference. Habitat for Humanity makes a tangible difference. Not saying other places don't. We're worried about Habitat today. You can drive by, you can ride your bike by and see the differences they've made here locally and how much this money is going to help them achieve some of their goals in the future. Speaking of goals, once you climb Mount Everest, what's next?
Well, there's a couple of things, and
never quits, does it?
Yeah, we've got a couple of other things we're cooking up in the background, and you know, maybe in a couple of weeks' time we can talk again, because I think you know, we have some ideas to keep this going and some things we can do to keep helping the community. So definitely appreciate the time and the opportunity to come on and tell the story.
Excellent. Lines are always open, my friend. Next Saturday, Blaine Rader will climb the Southern Hill just by the causeway. What is that, Dunn Street? Is that what that is down there? I can't remember.
Oh, it's embarrassing. I don't know the street name.
You just know the hill. You're locked in. You're just worried about your friend, the hill. Everesting. Well, Blaine, it's great to talk to you. It's fantastic to spread this word. We hope Habitat is like you mentioned, is more than thrilled with this idea of yours. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck. Eat more, hydrate. And you know what? Maybe we will check it. You know what? I'm fascinated now that I want to check in with you a couple weeks after to see how this went and to see if you met your goal. So let's be in touch, all right?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Mike.
Excellent, Blaine. Blaine Rader, Everesting. for Habitat for Humanity. I thought we'd do a 10-minute interview, and here we are half an hour later. Just fascinating how this all comes together. And I'm not joking. You've seen on Facebook or wherever I've posted it about our bikes and whatever. And we just got bikes in our family, and we're happy to ride literally 2 miles. But yes, he's going to ride Mount Everest, and he's going to do it for charity. How cool is that?